Psalm 33, 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. One more verse, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I'll be sharing many scriptures today, but I want to have a fundamental understanding that we are here in the United States of America by the providence of God. So I want to preach about the miracle of America. God bless you. Please be seated. Earlier, I appreciate you spontaneously standing and we sang, God bless America. And more specifically, our prayer has been for many years, since Brother Wayne Walker prompted us to think this way, let the United States be a nation that God can bless. If America is righteous, she as a nation will be exalted. But if America declines in sin, America will be a reproach, because sin is a reproach to any people. We should never discount the grace of God, the mercy of God, that for hundreds of years the Lord put up with the sin of the nations that were in Canaan land and said the iniquity of those people is not yet full. God is merciful even when people are sinful. And the long suffering of the Lord is not that God is not looking or paying attention, but God is giving mercy so he would bring us to repentance. So we are one nation under God. America is not our God. America is a great nation as long as we are under God. And nothing, including national pride, should be exalted above the Lord. For there is one Lord, amen, one faith, one baptism, and there is none beside our great God. Now, I will tell you that I am deeply patriotic, deeply grateful for the United States of America. And every one of us who are here by birth or by choice are Christians first. I am a son of God before I am anything else, regardless of my race, regardless of my lineage, regardless of my national citizenship. I belong to Jesus Christ, and my citizenship ultimately is in heaven. Amen? Paul said it in Philippians 3:20, and where we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We are temporary residents in this world. And I think it's important to say that our brothers and sisters in nations that have no religious freedom are still free in Jesus Christ because of the power of the gospel that set them free, even in a land where they are not religiously free. We'd be ungrateful if we did not celebrate 250 years of religious freedom. I thank God for the United States of America. And as a Christian, I am not conflicted when I say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. The pledge was first written in 1892 by a Baptist minister named Francis Bellamy. Published, and then in September 8, 1892, it excluded under God. But after battles against communism and the threat of the times, it was President Eisenhower in 1954 who encouraged Congress to add the words, one nation under God. And today, when we recite that 31-word pledge, we say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. We are never perfect, but we strive for perfect ideals. Section 4 of the flag code says that when we pledge allegiance to the flag, we should be standing facing the flag at attention with our right hand over our heart. If you're a male wearing a headdress, you should remove it, hold it toward your shoulder with your hand over your heart. And there are special instructions for people in the military. I repeat that I find no conflict as long as I say that we are one nation under God. For we believe that God rules over all. He is above all, through all, and working in you all. To an immigrant who becomes a citizen of the United States of America, patriotic loyalty is a matter of honesty and integrity. The oath of allegiance for immigrants becoming citizens goes like this: I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure, which means reject, all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by the law, that I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by law, that I will perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by the Lord, and I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of aversion, so help me God. There are provisions for conscientious objectors, that is by a religious conviction and other things in that pledge. But what I'm saying is, if you come to this country, you make a commitment. If you're born here, you don't have to make that commitment, but you should. Amen. We are one nation under God. And if you're a person of integrity, you are loyal to God first, but you're also loyalty to the laws of the country. Now, I told you that I would share several scriptures, but I wanted to give you a biblical basis for an allegiance to a country as long as it is under God. Romans 13. The Apostle Paul wrote about submitting to governing authorities. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so I don't have to give much commentary. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against that God, what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The context of when this was written, when Roman was the ruling empire, is especially insightful. Verse 4, the authorities are God's servants, sent for your good, but if you are doing wrong, of course, you should be afraid. For they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants, civil authorities, sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Pay your taxes too, for these same reasons, for government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been reading the Bible, and I thank God that God Almighty ordained civil authority, and we are taught to submit to civil authority. The Apostle Paul wrote of the importance of praying for those in authority, 1 Timothy 2:1. Therefore, I exhort first of all that prayers, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, national rulers, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. When political leaders are in alignment with biblical values, we should thank God for living in a land of freedom. When political leaders are leading by values that are against the Bible, we should pray that they are removed or that they repent. But nonetheless, we should not be disrespectful. We should be respectful and pray. This is the will of God. 1 Peter chapter 2. Beloved, I beg you, this is the New King James Version, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, among ungodly people, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, or the King James says maliciousness, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king or the political leaders of your country. This is the word of God. And that is why I said earlier that as long as America remains one nation under God, I have no problem pledging a flag that celebrates a nation under God. Now, there are times when God and country disagree. Our nation is founded on principles that honor God, that protect our religious freedoms. But ultimately, I must say that we live by a higher law, by the word of God. And when man's laws violate the Bible, we live by the Bible, the higher laws of God than the laws of the land. This happened in Acts chapter 5 when it became illegal to preach the gospel. They were commanded to not speak in the name of Jesus Christ. They were accused of insurrection against the government. But in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, the apostles answered, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." They faced beating and persecution, but the Bible said that they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. If in our land, as in many other lands, if we are ever persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ, we take it and rejoice that we are citizens of heaven more than citizens on the earth. I'm thankful for men and women who throughout history have stood for truth when their nation stood for evil. Daniel in the Old Testament obeyed God rather than man when he prayed 3 times a day, even when it became illegal. He was thrown in a den of hungry lions, but God delivered him because Daniel stayed true. Amen? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in Babylon, when they were told that they must bow and worship the idol that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, set up, there were consequences that they either bow and worship an image or be thrown into the fiery furnace. The consequences for rejecting human government and obeying God was severe. But Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they said, "We're not careful, O king. We're not hesitant to answer you. We want you to know that no matter what happens to us, we will not bend, we will not bow, we will not serve your gods." And we don't know what God is going to do, but we know that God will deliver you out of your hands. And when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, God delivered them because they put God above the illegal laws or ungodly laws of the land. Amen. So I just want you to say, I want to be balanced in my preaching today, that I thank God for America. But ultimately, we are citizens of heaven, and we are subject to the laws of God above the laws of the land. But I'm thankful that we do live in a land of liberty, and we should never take it for granted. And we should always pray that God would forgive America so he could bless America. And let's talk about the miracle of America. The Daniel, the prophet, in Daniel 2 and 20, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." It's true in the Bible and there are other scriptures, but we believe that God sets up kings and nations, and God can take them down. When Israel sinned, God allowed Babylon to be the chastening rod, the discipline of Israel for 70 years. And Babylon was an instrument in the hands of God. But after 70 years, in a decree by Cyrus, king of Persia, that had conquered Babylon, they were set free and allowed to return home. And Persia, Babylon, supported all of that and paid for them to go back, rebuild the temple. So God works in human governments. He sets up one and he removes another. And I thank God that in the founding of America, that God was involved by his incredible divine providence. The chronicles of our nation are clear about our national origins. We celebrated yesterday, of course, the 4th of July, citizens of America, our 250th birthday, or the celebration of the Declaration of Independence, a major milestone. And when you study the history of governments, 250 years or thereabouts can be a turning point, a crisis point for nations. And many go into decline somewhere in the neighborhood of a quarter of a century. I pray that we will not allow that to happen here. Now, beyond the familiar stories of battles and victories, you know, this question is, what is the miracle of the United States of America? The political victories, the prosperity, the technological advances, our global influence, while all of those are significant, the wealth and power of our nation, I look back to the providence of Almighty God in our founding that liberty is a gift. And before I go into this part of my message, I want to thank Brother Phil Strauss for his research. He wrote an amazing book called Joseph. It is incredible in its historical research and its parallel to Joseph of the Old Testament. Thank you for your research. Thank you for dedicating yourself. It is brilliantly written. The Declaration of Independence, of course, marks the birth of our nation. But it's not merely a political document. It is a declaration of dependence on Almighty God. In the Declaration of Independence, the signers appeal to nature's God. They affirm that mankind is endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. In other words, they did not believe in evolution. They believed in a creator that founded our nation. Amen? I thank God that they appealed to the supreme judge of the world. They knew that there was a God who ruled in the affairs of men. And they expressed a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Our founders were not perfect, but they were God conscious and they relied on God. They understood a truth that remains relevant today, that freedom does not originate in human government. It originates from Almighty God himself. The 56 signers agreed and they committed themselves to support this declaration with a firm reliance on protection of divine providence. And they said, we pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. If you've ever read what would be called maybe the fate of the 56 signers, many of them lost their lives and their fortunes to found this country. And we owe a great debt of gratitude to the men and women who 250 years ago and so founded this great United States of America. Amen. Now, what about this evidence, you know? When you go back and study this, and this is again where I appreciate the research, the Revolutionary War, there were moments that point to God being involved in our founding. Our founding president, George Washington, before he was president, he survived battles in which bullets pierced his clothing and not his body. He had horses shot out from under him. He wrote to his mother about what God had done to protect him. There was an amazing escape from Brooklyn after a disastrous battle in Long Island. The Continental Army faced complete annihilation. They were trapped by British forces. The East River was at their back, and defeat seemed certain. Yet on the night of August 29th, a thick fog rolled in. It was so dense that even at close range, visibility was nearly zero. Under the cover of this inexplicable fog, General Washington silently evacuated 9,000 troops across the river. The British awoke to an empty battlefield. No one can explain the fog's timing or its intensity, but its impact was undeniable. Providence, they said, had intervened. Again, later, months later, Washington on Christmas night would cross the ice-filled Potomac Delaware River to a pivotal victory at Trenton. Had the weather shifted even slightly, the operation would have failed catastrophically. But instead, the ice cleared just enough for a successful crossing, and it revived a cause that appeared to be at the brink of collapse. General George Washington led the Continental Army in a surprise attack against Hessian troops that were allied to Britain. And the victory revitalized a faltering patriot cause after a string of defeats in 1776. Historians may debate whether it was coincidence or providence, but I believe that God sets up nations and kings and he takes them down. So I'm going to say thank God for your guiding hand in the founding of the United States of America. Looking back at our storied history, our checkered past, with failures and successes, with all of the things that have been wrong in America, I see that God has guided this place, and I thank God for the United States of America, for the miracles that allowed us to become a nation. Freedom made a difference. The difference of the miracle of opportunity. Immigration is a point of contention in our nation today, legal versus illegal. But America is a land of immigrants. In the Statue of Liberty, we say, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. An estimated 130 million legal immigrants have come into the United States of America since 1776, and accurate records began in 1820. I thank God for the millions of people that have come here. And you may debate the level playing field of opportunity, but you can ask those who were here who have been enslaved. You can ask those who were in countries where they were oppressed And I thank God that the United States has been a land of opportunity. The miracle of prosperity is true about America. We're a land of 349 million people, about a fourth of the population of India and China. Yet the United States have a total accumulated net worth, first globally, with a net worth of approximately $163 trillion, followed by China, only about 55% of our wealth and four times as many people. I think it's about democracy versus communism, but it is the favor of God on the United States of America. I thank God for America. And you may want to debate in the public sector the opportunities or the prosperity, you know, of capitalism, but more than anything, we are here today as believers in Almighty God. And I want to stand today and say, I thank God for the right to worship God in spirit and in truth. I thank God for the First Amendment that says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise of the same. You can shout, you can praise, you can dance, you can worship, you can weep, you can cry. You can raise your children to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. With all of our flaws, I thank God for our freedom to worship God in spirit and in truth. We ought to thank Almighty God that we can do what we're doing right now, unimpeded, unarrested, to the glory of God. Amen. But I think a lot about what that has done to make the United States a sending nation for the gospel. For 2.5 centuries, the United States of America has enabled the spread of the gospel around the world. Missionaries have been sent to all nations of the world, and in Christianity at large, the United States of America has sent approximately 135,000 international missionaries, and that's of all faiths. I thank God for America. The United Pentecostal Church alone has funded and sent over 1,340 missionaries and workers of all levels to 203 countries and territories around the world. Isn't that great? Thank God for the freedom, and thank God for the finance to send them. Outside of the United States and Canada, there are 5.08 million constituents, 40,430 churches and preaching points, 33,565 national ministers funded and sent by the United Pentecostal Church to the nations of the world. I thank God that even in access-challenged nations, we have a witness there, for the gospel is never bound. And the blessing of religious freedom has allowed us to spend billions and billions of dollars sending the gospel and to print and distribute billions and billions of copies of the Bible around the world. It's impossible to really count, but the Gideons alone have distributed over 2.5 billion Bibles around the world since 1899. The American Bible Society has distributed over 3 billion Bibles and portions of Scripture in a 10-year period in North America and beyond. I thank God for a free press. I thank God for the finances that somebody can get a Bible in their hand. They can read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. They can turn to Acts 2:38 and read, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Thank God for the ability to send the gospel around the world. Thank God that America has advanced the kingdom of God in North America and around the world. Churches have been planted, ministries have been established, and millions of lives have been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is something I read that I found very interesting about the ministry of churches to hurting people. An estimated 350,000 religious congregations operate schools, pregnancy resource centers, soup kitchens, drug addiction programs, homeless shelters, adoption agencies. Thank God for our Hope Ministry that this year will be 20 years and 1,000 services of ministering to the homeless in downtown Atlanta. This was impressive to me. The efforts of our Christian churches and religious ministries in America has served over 70 million Americans every year. The value of the service, these benevolence ministries in the United States, are estimated at over $1 trillion of ministry to unfortunate people to try to bring them out of darkness and to hope and light. Thank God for the United States of America and an opportunity to spread the gospel, because to me, that is the most important facet of our freedom. I've already said it, but America is not perfect. You can focus on our imperfection. It would be good to look in a mirror and focus on your own. Our loyalty, our allegiance is ultimately to God. We love America, but it's more than being a fan of our soccer team or our Olympians or even our military men and women. We are not naive, and we will not be influenced by those who attack our faith, our families, and the foundation of our freedom. We recognize that there are threats to the freedom we enjoy in America. There's a prevalence of secularism and relativism that is erasing God the Creator and replacing him with evolutionary theory, the movement away from one nation under God. There is the attack on family and gender distinction, the attempt to redefine traditional marriage, normalization of what is perversion to God, a shifting culture around gender identity. Thank God for some strong stands recently by the Supreme Court and a movement of revival in our country. There is an attack on human life, the taking of life by abortion and even those who would call it assisted suicide. There is the erosion of religious liberty, the attack especially in local, county, and sometimes statewide governments trying to remove our religious liberty, that we cannot raise our children according to the Bible. But I thank God we are praying back and pushing back on the darkness in our country. There is a pervasive prevalence of media and culture and secular education that's trying to undermine the underpinnings of our country. And it is not just America. It is not just socialism or communism. It's not just an attack on our way of life or capitalism, but it is an attempt that starts at the gates of hell to try to destroy not just a nation, not just your family, but ultimately your soul. So today I am rising to say thank God for America, and thank God that he has given us another opportunity to pray for America, for stand for the Bible and for truth, and to be people that are light in the darkness of the world. We shine as lights in the world. Amen. We've never been a perfect nation because we're here, you're here, I'm here. We've experienced failures as well as successes. We've fallen short of our highest ideals, but the ideals are right. And those that are founded on the Bible are perfect. Amen? God has repeatedly shown mercy on America. You can guess your reasons. I don't think it's because God wants us to be wealthy, although our wealth can be used for his glory. It's not just that God wants us to be able to come and worship freely, but God wants the world to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not really part of my message, but when we support Faith Promise, when we give to missions causes, when we witness to others the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we send missionaries in North America and around the world, we are part of God's purpose for this nation, and we should never lose the priority of our purpose to spread the gospel to people who are in the darkness of sin. It's our text, but Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. If America turns to God, America will be exalted. But if America declines into darkness, America will cease to be a power to be reckoned with. America will become a reproach. I believe that we are stewards of the miracle of America. As we commemorate 250 years, we must wisely steward our future, our families, the opportunities that God has given us. The Bible says in Psalm 33:12, also our text, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. As long as we will make the Lord Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, as long as we will be a witness for Jesus Christ, there is hope for our nation, that our nation can continue to be a shining light on the hill. We never want prosperity to produce pride in us. We never want our comforts to cause us to be complacent. History repeatedly demonstrates that nations who lose their sense of God, nations that become complacent, nations that become decadent in their lifestyle, dwindle away and die. And America is at that quarter of a millennial turning point. And I pray, God, save America. God, forgive America so that you can bless America to continue to serve as a voice for the kingdom of God. God has blessed us. The question is, what will we do with our blessings at this turning point in American history? At times like this, we often quote 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's appropriate today. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We need spiritual healing more than anything. Now, I'd like to make a few comments to you who may be living in the land of the free and the home of the brave, but you are not living free. You're living bound by sin. There are habits that you think you can break, and you try to break, but you haven't, and you can't. I want to tell you today that greater than the hope of America is the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can live in a land that where you would be persecuted for your faith, but you can be free in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ declared in John chapter 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth that I quoted about God loving the world, the truth of forgiveness of sins, baptism in Jesus' name, and the Holy Ghost, it will make you free. Jesus also said in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So I say, thank God for America, but more than our country, I thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who sacrificed his life on the cross to set us free from sin and death. He took the things that were against us and nailed them to his cross. So today I say, thank God that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If you're free in your spirit, you are truly free indeed. Why don't we give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you lift your voice, give him praise. Stand if you're able, and let's thank God for America. Let's thank God for salvation. We are free indeed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's really give the Lord glory right now. Hallelujah. I want us to pray. If you need the Lord to forgive your sins, would you ask him now? If you need your life to be turned around, ask him now. If you struggle with the feeling of bitterness or being kicked to the curb or left out in the American dream, the gospel has a dream for you that works for everyone, everywhere, and it will work for you, and it will forgive you of sin. It will take away a bitter heart. It will give you hope in heaven. Even if you don't feel like you have hope on this earth, I am glad for the power of the gospel that sets us truly free. Let's pray right now all across this house. If you're watching online, would you pray with us right now? Jesus, I thank you for the power of the gospel that delivered us from the power of sin. I ask you right now, Lord, to forgive our sins. Lord, your leaders in the Bible often repented for their nation. And today, Lord, we repent for the sins of America. We repent, oh God, for the immorality. We repent, oh God, for corruption. We repent, oh God, for prejudice. We repent, oh God, for a nation that has gone astray. We appeal, oh God, to nature's God. We appeal again to divine providence. I appeal to you, O Lord, the Lord of the universe, that you would forgive America, God, of its sins. I pray, Lord, that you would let us be righteous by the power of your salvation, that you would let America turn to you. Today, we are just one congregation among thousands. But Lord, if we will turn to you, if we will confess our sins, if we will pray for our land, we can be a powerful force of revival in America and around the world. So today, Lord, I turn my heart to you. I pray, oh God, for our country, for our leaders, Lord. I pray, oh God, for our populace. I ask you in Jesus' name to set us free by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And amen.